This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello and welcome to another edition of How to Bay Area, the podcast that explains how to get stuff done right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. In this edition, we're going to be talking about how to keep our homes coronavirus-free. Shelter-in-place has us all spending an awful lot of time at home, obviously. But every now and then, even the most rigorous social distancers will probably need to venture outside. So when you do, how can you make sure that you don't bring the virus back inside with you? Well, it turns out a lot of that comes down to cleaning and disinfecting those homes properly. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this program. We are going to be speaking with Annalise Roquet-Gardner, an infectious disease specialist with UC San Francisco, about how she's keeping her home safe from the virus when she comes home from work. Once again, a quick programming note, this is another expanded interview from a recent KCBS In-Depth program, in case you were thinking this all sounded a little bit too familiar. We needed this expanded version because there was a lot more in that interview than we could fit into the broadcast runtime. Like, a lot, actually. So if specificity is what you are looking for, that is what you are going to get in this program. Hope it is. Strap in as we get into the nitty and the gritty of Coronavirus Cleaning 101. Annalise Roquet-Gardner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So we are going to get into the advice portion in just a second, but first wanted to get a little bit more grounded in this topic. Now, obviously, it's thought that the main way this virus is spreading is through person-to-person contact. One person sneezes or coughs, and that gives it to somebody else nearby, not too far away. But we've also been hearing about all these studies that are suggesting that the virus can live on surfaces like plastic surfaces, metal surfaces, for days at a time. So when it comes to this other method of transfer, I guess the surface-to-person transfer, how worried about that should we be?
So I think your point, the first point you made is the most critical one that I want people to remember, which is obviously person-to-person spread or community spread is what we're seeing right now, primarily in most of the United States. And the instance of sneezing, you're next to someone, someone is coughing, you're next to them. That is what we should all be most concerned about right now, and that is the importance of social distancing is tied to that. The second aspect, I would put the surfaces under the first mode of transmission, and that is I think right now, if the majority of people in the Bay Area hopefully are staying in their homes, sheltering in place, but for those that are venturing out for errands. Or people that are essential employees and are going into work and having exposure to different environments and possibly to different people, I do think that becomes more critical for healthcare workers like myself. That is quite important because we're obviously coming into the hospital every day and high touch things that we carry around, such as our pagers, such as phones, glasses, those are things that in the right context the virus could be on, and we want to make sure that we clean those before we go home to make sure that the people that we live with, our loved ones, are also safe. And that is goes for anyone that is going out to areas where there's a lot of mingling. There's a lot of people right now.
And just to frame this up a little bit more, so you are somebody who works in a clinical setting, so obviously you need to be very concerned with cleanliness and making sure that the transmission is stopped wherever possible. And you were also telling me that your friends and family members have been coming to you for advice for how they can protect themselves and protect their home. So I'm wondering if you could share that advice with our listeners now. And let's just start with, because, you know, not everybody is going to be listening to the end. Let's just start with, what is the number one thing that if somebody is listening right now, you would hope that they would get away from this conversation?
I want people to remember high touch surfaces. High touch surfaces, make sure those are being clean. And I'm including phones in that because we all have a phone nowadays. A lot of us are tied to that phone for a lot of the day. And we need to make sure that that is being clean on a daily basis.
So let's get to the how do you clean those things? What are the cleaning products or compounds that we could be using to kill this virus? What actually kills this thing?
Well, the good thing is that most commercially available cleaning products will be able to kill coronavirus. Obviously, we focus and we encourage people to use bleach, being a common household product, cleaning product that a lot of us have. Alcohol solutions are also important, but remembering that it needs to be at least 70% alcohol, and then hydrogen peroxide as well. But most commercially available products, which have some component of those three things I mentioned, the alcohol, the bleach, and the hydrogen peroxide in them, they kill coronavirus. And generally, the term for this are EPA-registered household disinfectants. And I know most of us don't usually take a look at the cleaning bottles extensively. But for the most part, everything that you're getting in the supermarket will have that little seal on it. And that will be able to eradicate coronavirus.
So I guess the good news there is that while the Clorox wipes and the Lysol spray may be sold out at your local supermarket, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about there is much more widely available. You can just find it in your own home, mix it up yourself.
Absolutely. And I just want to note that when people are using any of these products, it's really important to wear gloves, disposable gloves, if you have them, just to make sure they have some irritant effect, obviously, on your hands. And you want to make sure you're keeping your hands safe when using these products.
Mm. And going back to that point that you made about high-touch surfaces a second ago, walk our listeners through what we have in mind there. We're talking about doorknobs. We're talking about countertops. What's the main things that we have in mind?
So we're looking at, if you think about when you enter your home from that point, what are things that you're touching? So, for example, you mentioned doorknobs, light switches being another one, handles of things, whether that's your refrigerator or other aspects of your home, desks. I particularly like people to focus on the kitchen and in the bathroom because those are areas that are commonly shared by everyone in the household. Sink being another one, sink handles, chairs. If you're working from home and you have a home office, you're going to be sitting in that chair every day. So if you take a step back and you think about it, you're going into your home, what are the things that you may not even realize you're touching? Those are high touch areas. And then I also include phones for personal aspects of that, and also glasses, if you wear glasses, because you're touching those numerous times in a day.
Right. And well, we should also note, you mentioned phones a second ago. You do have to check with the instructions for your phone how to clean it, because some are very sensitive to some of the products that we're talking about here, especially bleach. You really don't want to use bleach on a lot of your electronics. Let's get now to how you actually use those products on these surfaces. What should people be keeping in mind about the best way to use some of these cleaners to kill this virus?
So starting with figuring out whether that surface is dirty at baseline or not, and if it's visibly soiled, what I would tell people is that it should first be cleaned using soap and water prior to disinfection. That's a kitchen counter that has food or has scraps or anything on it. So that's the first step. And then we go to, let's just say bleach, we're using bleach, making sure that we're diluting that bleach properly. Obviously, bleach can be very caustic, and so we want to make sure that we're diluting it in water. And generally what I tell people and use in my own home is around 5 tablespoons of bleach per gallon of water, about 4 teaspoons per about a quart of water is going to be the breakdown of the dilution that you want to use. So starting with, if it's dirty, first let's clean with soap and water. And then if you have rags handy, if you have paper towels handy, using that diluted bleach solution to clean those hard hard surfaces first.
And then is there a certain amount of time you want to leave that bleach on the surface before you wipe it off?
You want to clean first and then make sure everything's dry, and then go ahead with the bleach solution and then make sure that is dry as well.
Mm. And then what about soft surfaces? Like, for example, I have a gear bag that I bring out with me every day to work. How should I clean something like that?
So I think taking a step back, it's the first the question of whether that should be cleaned. We first talked about high touch surfaces in our home and things that we're touching throughout the day. We know that coronavirus lives, for example, lives roughly about a day on cardboard. On stainless steel, it lives about 3 days. The information and the data that we have about other surfaces, I would say at this point, we're starting to gain more information, but the studies are limited. And so I would say that for things like my handbag, I do not clean it on a daily basis. I think it would be difficult to know if it would be effective to clean, because we don't know the extent of how long the virus is going to live on there or if it's even going to live on there.
Yeah, so some amount of discretion, I suppose, is called for here in terms of what's going to get cleaned and what is not. Returning to the broader topic of soft surfaces, though, what is your advice for keeping those surfaces clean if you are going to clean them?
It depends on what surface you're talking about, obviously. So things like carpeted floors, rugs, drapes, I would use whatever is an appropriate cleaner for your rug or for that porous surface. And that is likely going to be able to eradicate the coronavirus because most commercially available cleaners have some level of disinfectant in them. And so it's hard for me to think about the different kinds of bag types, for example, since we were talking about bags.
You mean you can't tell me how to clean my alligator skin bag? Come on.
Not an expert in that, even though I'm from Florida, sadly. and so I would gear your cleaning as you would if you weren't trying to clean trying to disinfect. So if you're trying to clean your carpet, I would clean your carpet as you normally do with whatever commercially available cleaning product you use.
Now, what about when you're returning to your home? There's always the possibility that you've picked up something on your clothing or your hands or something that you've been carrying. Do you have any special procedure that you go through when you get home to clean yourself off and make sure you're not tracking anything in?
So I will tell you what I tell my parents and what I tell my loved ones, which is the first thing that I do when I step inside my house is I wash my hands. And that's going to be your biggest defense. Washing your hands frequently when you're coming in contact with these high-touch surfaces or when you're coming from the outside world into your home. Then after that, I generally do try to change out of my hospital clothes. But again, I'm in an environment where I may be exposed to more things than people that are not necessarily healthcare workers. But I think that's a personal choice as to what you think your comfort level is. I simply do it to get into more comfortable clothes and to get out of my hospital clothes. But the most important thing is going to be make sure that you're washing your hands and that if something is soiled or, for example, as we talked about, if someone, for example, has sneezed on your bag or you're concerned about one particular thing, that gets cleaned. As you're coming into your home.
And then what about your clothes? I've heard some folks suggest that it's a good idea to have your outdoor clothes that you take off as soon as you come inside, and then your indoor clothes, which you know are totally clean. Is that something that you would suggest as well, keeping those two things separate?
I think, again, it depends on your risk factor. And we're talking about the general risk for the population. This changes if you are someone who is immunocompromised or who is in that high-risk group of patients that are over the age of 65 with comorbidities. That we know are more susceptible to more severe complications from COVID-19. And so I think that is more of an individual choice. I'm a physician. I do change my clothes to try to have a little bit of that barrier. But for someone who maybe is going to the store to pick up some groceries and is coming back home, I'm not sure that's necessary for the average person.
Hmm. All right. So there, once again, it sounds like there is not a one-size-fits-all answer to that question as well. Well, let's move on to something that is going to be confronting just about everybody, the question of how to deal safely with the grocery store items that you're bringing back into your home. Now, it's very easy to imagine the scenario where that box of Cheerios that you pick up in the grocery store aisle, maybe somebody infected has touched it or somebody has coughed on it, something like that. What should you be doing with those items once you get them home? How worried should you be about those as vectors of contagion?
Great question. So going back to what we know about how long this virus lives on certain surfaces, we know, for example, cardboard, it tends to live about a day. Stainless steel, it tends to live about 3 days. So I think people have an option here. They can put in their pantry if they're not going to be using it right away. Or if they are concerned about that, then they can wipe down cans. I know people that are currently doing that, wiping down stainless steel cans that they're getting at the grocery store. I think it's difficult to give one broad advice for everyone because you want to make sure that you're able to live your life still and that you don't have hours or added to your day because you're now disinfecting your food as well. Because ultimately, we know that the virus will die off in the environment. And so depending on what you're in, what your individual risk is, if you are over the age of 65, if you're immunosuppressed, if you are more susceptible to the harsher consequences of coronavirus, then I think it may be something that that you may want to do if you want to take extra precautions. But personally, I will say I am not doing that.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying you could actually basically quarantine some of those products after you brought them home elsewhere in your house for a couple of days. And once they've kind of passed that threshold of when the virus dies, that's when it's safe to bring them back and start using them?
Essentially, we know that it's going to live a certain time on that surface, and after that, it will not. And that is one option that is people want to do is available to them. Or the other option is that you go ahead and use those products. You clean them first if you want, or if you're comfortable with what you're purchasing at the grocery store and don't clean them and utilize them as you would normally.
Mm. And this may be kind of a dumb question, but how do you clean cardboard? Because it's not exactly a hard surface. It's not exactly a soft surface. What do you use to clean a cardboard package?
I think that's a good question. I would probably go back to my Lysol wipe, which is my go-to. But if you don't have that available, most people have paper towels in their home and they can, if they have set up a diluted container of bleach or hydrogen peroxide or whatever you're using, put a little bit on a paper towel and then clean your cardboard if you want to do that.
Huh. All right. So not so different after all, cleaning cardboard. Let's skip it around topics right now. Skipping now to personal hygiene. What do you suggest in terms of washing ourselves off when we get home? Some folks have said, you know, you want to change clothes and then take a shower. Is that really necessary, taking a shower as soon as you've walked in the door?
I think the steps that we would normally advise to patients to just maintain your general health, that includes not only showering regularly, but also making sure you're getting plenty of sleep, making sure that you're getting plenty of exercise, indoor exercise as you're sheltering in place, and eating properly. That kind of general advice applies to this as well. I'm not sure that I would go ahead and say people need to be showering more than usual, I don't think that's necessary. I think the general advice that physicians give you to maintain good health is what would apply here.
And how does this all change if there is somebody in your household that has tested positive for coronavirus? Are there steps that you can take at that point to prevent the spread within your own house? Is that even possible?
If you do have someone in your house that you know is COVID positive and you are sharing surfaces and you are sharing an environment, then there is an extra level of caution that needs to be taken. That is particularly when I bring up the kitchen and the bathroom situation, because obviously those are things that you can't avoid sharing with someone else. It's going to be really hard to isolate this person from the bathroom and the kitchen. And so as much as possible, though, that ill person should stay in one specific room and away from other people in their home. That also means that person should be given personal cleaning supplies for that environment that they have. Make sure that if there is a separate bathroom available or if there is a separate room, for example, if it's a husband and wife, husband is infected, wife is not, making sure that husband is sleeping in a separate bedroom if available, or in the living room, or in trying to separate that person as much as possible for infection control purposes.
All right. So a lot of really good advice there. Hopefully plenty of stuff that folks at home will find useful. To close things out, and you've hinted at this a number of times throughout the conversation, curious for your thoughts on how far should we take all this? Because obviously there is a spectrum. We could be spending every moment of every day wiping down every surface that we can find and making sure that all the germs are dead, or we could do nothing. And it seems like neither one of those options are really good options. So where do you come down on all of this in terms of how much of our time day to day we should be putting into these cleaning measures?
I think that's a really critical point, because at the end of the day, this could overtake your life if you start cleaning every aspect of your home, or if you start cleaning all your groceries or everything that you're coming in contact with. I do think we need to all as a society and be smart about the decisions that we're making, social distancing being a critical one. But what I would say, do as I do, in the sense that if you have a general risk, that means that you're under the age of 65, you're relatively healthy, you don't have any of those other comorbidities or concerns with immunosuppression that we worry about, then I'm frequently washing my hands, that is for sure. I'm going through the high-touch surfaces in my home and cleaning those. And I am also being wary of the time that I spent on the weekends, on my days off, in high trafficked areas and social distancing at home. But I am not. I am opting to not clean groceries and not clean things like my bag, because I think the risk overall is low. I think if you are, my in-laws are over that age criteria that we worry about, and I'm cautioning them to try to limit the amount of time that they're spending outside, for sure, and going to grocery stores during that senior hour that a lot of our grocery stores have now. But I think people need to be aware of what their own individual risk is and whatever they're comfortable doing from that perspective. I think you could definitely go overboard. And while we all want to be safe, at the end of the day, we also have to be able to live our lives and enjoy our lives and the time that we're spending with our loved ones.
All right. Some words of wisdom to close on there. Feeling we've taken enough of your time. So thank you very, very much for spending all of that time breaking that down for us. So we have been speaking today to Annalise Roquet-Gardner. She's an infectious disease specialist with UC San Francisco. Annalise Roquet-Gardner, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This has been How to Bay Area. If you missed our last interview on social distancing safety, go check it out. It comes right before this one on the podcast stream. Very eye-opening interview with a social epidemiologist about why it is so important that we all do our part to get social distancing right, and also a lot of information on how to get that social distancing right. Signing off for now, though, thank you very much for listening. Hope you are well and safe inside your clean, virus-free homes. For KCBS, I'm Keith Manconi. See you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.